everyone, and welcome back to Silent Podcast, where we're anything but silent. Today, we're going to be covering Never Have I Ever, season 4. That's right. Final season, baby. Episodes 2 and 3. Yes, we're going to be doubling up on these middle episodes until the finale, basically, because listen, we're not trying to be here 10 weeks. I know y'all aren't trying to be here 10 weeks. We definitely are not doing multiple podcasts a week. It's just not us. So we're going to be doing 2 episodes together. And I think this was the best way to start it because these episodes, meh. But before I go any further, your toxic faves, like I say, are back. Okay, we're going to be back. We're not breadcrumbing you. We're done. So I'm your host, Sasha Joseph, joined by my co-host, Chappelle. Welcome back. We're here. We made it.
We did it. Season 4, episodes 2 and 3. This is going to be a good time. Sasha, we're about to get into chaotic Davy. We haven't quite got there yet. But these 2 episodes are like the last 2 before this season gets really, really real.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's just I forgot how irritated I was at the first half of this season. And now I'm like, oh, God, I don't even get to like move forward and finish it all and be OK with it. But I think every episode, the more like. Again, I think I'm party of one. Maybe I'm not. But I'm just like, I wish that Paxton would be the end game. Like, why? You know, in my heart, I just want that. And I know it's not. It doesn't really make sense. But I don't know. Like, Paxton is back in these 2 episodes. I feel like things are moving, but not in the right way for a girl.
Yeah, when Paxton came back, was your first instinct thinking, okay, we're about to get the Paxton Davy story, or did you think, oh, this means that they can't possibly be together? Because I'm not gonna lie to you, when he decides to come back and potentially work at the school, I knew, okay, that's the end of that, because Davy's not gonna be dating a teacher,
right? So here's what I thought. Okay, so I thought they're like literally washing their hands of Ben and being like, this, we gotta, you know, end this. Ben gets his happy ending with Margot, right? And is going to be with Margot, get him out of the way. And I think that Paxton gets to be the, like, we work on each other still. You know what I mean? Where I agree. I don't think they would have dated this year, but I think it would have been a, like, Davy figures herself out and they help each other figure each other out. And then when she graduates, it's like, it's always been you. You help me walk, right? Like, blah, blah, blah.
You help me walk is super romantic. Yeah. Even though it has nothing to do with romance at the beginning.
No.
But yeah, you're probably right. I think the story could have easily went that direction just based off of the first episode, too, where Ben is saying, we're not good together, Davy. We don't make each other better. Yeah. We make each other worse. And then by this episode, him saying, I can't even talk to you anymore, you know? So they had room to go in that direction. But I'm interested in trying to figure out why they decide to maybe go in a different direction.
Yeah, and we'll get to it, but it's just, I mean, y'all have already watched it, please, let's be serious. But it's just, I don't know, I'm getting a little frustrated with Ben, or rather his character, if that makes sense, like his character arc, because this doesn't feel like Ben anymore. Like, it doesn't feel like that, the, like, annoying, silly Ben. And I just feel like he's almost going into, like, a little bit, we talked about this last episode too, but a little bit of, like, I don't know if misogyny is the right word, but like dumb teenage boyhood, where I just feel like he's pitting women against each other. And I like refuse to like be a grown up, and it's weird.
I don't know. I don't think I was getting that. Maybe because I have a little bit of that in me. Who knows? Ah! But no, I think Ben might be maturing. And I think a part is saying, yeah, I think a part of him, even in these moments with Davy, where there might be some conflict where Davy's like, no, we can still be friends. And Ben is saying, actually, we can't even talk. And, you know, and like I said, initially watching it, of course, I'm team Davy. So I'm like, what are you talking about, Ben? Grow up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm also like, well, he's not wrong. When does anything good come from the two of them being near each other talking? I mean, even in these last 2 episodes, they've had so many misunderstandings. They've hurt Margot in several different ways. They basically almost got the girl suspended from school just based off of their own petty nonsense that's trickled over into their lives. So I don't know. I mean, maybe Ben's just getting older and he's not the same goofy kid that he used to be.
Okay, that's valid. I see your point. I don't know that I agree with it, but before we get too deep in the weeds, I think it's time, you know, as always, everyone, make sure you're leaving us a five-star only review. Please help us out so that we can get as many people as we can to listen to this final season. We're so close to the end. We just want to end on a great note. Five-star reviews, please. And subscribe to the Never Have I Ever feed. So if you haven't been listening on the Never Have I Ever exclusive feed, but you're on the Silent Podcast feed, that's great. But make sure you're on the Never Have I Ever feed so you get just our content. But yeah, anything else, Chappelle, before we get into it?
Nope, I'm ready to jump in. We got two episodes to knock out. Yes. And not that much time in front of us. So let's go ahead and get into it.
Love it. So yes, let's get into episode 2, Never Have I Ever Gotten Sweet Revenge. And this opening is top 5 openings, period. Because they're all staring at the car, right? It's the matriarchs and Devi. So it's Nalini, Nirmala, and Devi just staring. And Pati has lost her mind. I just want to make it clear because what is going on? And Nalini's just yelling at her to be like, I need you to be responsible. You're going to pay out of this because what happened, right? Like, why did this happen? Were you a stupid bitch?
That's the best line of the entire season. It just 100%. It is, because I appreciate the relationship that Nalini and Devi have now, to where they can talk openly like this. Because in the past it would have been Nalini yelling like, Devi, you're so responsible, you ruined everything, da 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 da, and Devi being like, Mom, you don't understand me, XYZ. But this time she's like, no, Devi, I actually do understand you. Tell me, was this you? You know, because at this point, I'm too old. You're too old for me to just be shouting it all the time. It's your responsibility. It's your car. Just be straight with me. Were you a stupid bitch? And David's like, what? Me? No. What are you talking about? And of course, we know that Nalini is probably onto something.
And I love it, right? Because Nalini is like, oh, the way you're talking about this girl, yeah, it gives me great confidence to think that you're not a stupid bitch. Obviously, all sarcasm, because she is moving mad. And I loved how Nalini was like, you got a hate crime? Yeah, not with this hate crime shit again. That's my mom. Like, she does this to me all the time, where she's like, you're always into some nonsense. And then stop blaming the, like, liberalism. Mm-hmm. My mom's tired of it. She's like, no, this You're is like just you system, being annoying.
Your mom said, grow up.
Yeah, literally. My mom is like, system, we're model minorities, baby. But it's just, truer words have not been spoken, I swear to God. And I don't know if this happens with you in your family, but this is, I feel like, definitely an Indian thing, or like a South Asian thing, where if something happens to you, right, you get in trouble. That why did this thing happen to you? Like, if you get sick, you're like, well, were you out in the cold with your hair wet?
Oh, yes. 100%. 100%. I don't know if it's as cultural or what, but yeah. I've always I never get the benefit of the doubt, ever, at any point. Like, I call my mom right now and be like, listen, the car, somebody ran into it. She's like, well, where did you park it?
Exactly.
Well, were you all the way to the parking spot? Because you know, you don't, sometimes you park over the lot.
Yep.
Like, instantly, like, lady, listen, just take my word for it. I'm telling you, the person who hit my car was a stupid bitch, and you just have to take my word for it. But my mom probably would be thinking the same thing. What did you do wrong?
Correct. Like, and it's constant. This was me in high school too, where I'm like, yo, just like, how about we have my side? Never. Couldn't be me. So it's just, again, be relatable, Mindy. Like, I can't. I don't appreciate it being so on point. So, of course, Nirmala's also pissed off, because Nirmala's like, she is a stupid bitch. Let her drive around with this.
If my grandma ever called me a stupid bitch, I would be on the floor dying laughing, number one. But also, I would be in shock.
I was going to say. I was like, I think you could perish me. It's time. Yeah.
I think it's just 4 seasons in. Everybody's sick of Devi shit. You know?
Yeah, literally.
Everybody. They're like, Devi, again? Okay, look. We don't even have time. There's no room for dramatics this time. Was this you or not? Because if it was you, let's just get there. Let's just get to the point. We don't have to do all these, like, hijinks and wackiness. Let's just talk about it. If you were being a super bitch, just say it so we can move on.
Nirmala is just such a mood. Like every time I'm pissed at someone, this is how I am. So I hear you, Nirmala. I see you. But anyway, all of this to say, Nalini finally is going to have her child back to say, actually, this means that she has even more reason to write stupid bitch on your car. So let's go to Principal Grubbs, which, again, I feel like is growth for our both this mother-daughter relationship. But here's the thing, right? Before we even get to Principal Grubbs, can my child, Davey, take one breath to understand that everything will come out if mom goes?
She's so slow, Davey. You're right, Sasha. It's just like, it's sometimes you have to hold the L because there are bigger L's that'll come if you get involved.
Because I don't know about you, but I feel that Davey got off scot-free with what
100%.
Happened.
100%. Melody, yeah. Same Melody.
Right, like, cause she goes. They all are in Principal Grubbs' office. Mr. Ramos is also there, Margo's dad, which I was like, a semi-attractive man. And I love that Nalini only gets men of color. I very much appreciate that. That is very new, cause nobody else. I guess Mr. Kulkarni, but he's missing in action.
Yeah, I know. When I saw this man, I was like, okay, he doesn't make it to the end of the season because there's no way.
What do you mean? Common made it.
Yeah, and then we never saw him again.
That's so real. Oh, God. Vishwa Kumar. He really had to sound it out.
He was doing his best.
Bless his heart. Listen, Common is community dick. Like, everyone has dated him in every movie. Queen Latifah, everyone.
Oh, my God.
Just right. Anyway, so all of this to say, like, Principal Grubbs, like, they've gotten super FBI, a Law and Order SVU, you name it, it's happening. And we find out that this is all for Ben Gross. And again, just Nalini is MVP because she does the, like, doll, like, baby action. And she's like, Ben Gross? With the, like, little...
Like a child. Like a little baby.
And Principal Grubbs is like, yeah, even I had the same reaction.
Yeah, it's all coming out. See, that's the thing. Davey goes in here to be like, Margo should be in prison for what she did. Oh my God, this is criminal, XYZ. And then as Margo starts to tell her story, you know, like after you threatened her and you yelled about her boyfriend's genitalia. Whoa. Now, Nalini's looking at you like, wait a minute. This is over Ben Gross's genitalia. What's happening here? I'm really shocked that we didn't get more conversation about this, Sasha.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how did Davey get away with it? I'm assuming, one, Nalini was embarrassed. But the thing is, if I embarrass my mom, I'm in 7 times more trouble than I would be normally. But it is what it is. And secondly, I guess we do come, you know, like, it turns out Margo has an alibi. So we're fine. But... Nalini says, great, you're going to now pay for this because your actions have led to this.
Yeah. There's that somehow you did something that, like, even if it wasn't Margo who did it, you did something to piss somebody off, Davey. And so now you have to pay for it. And it sucks. Margo's alibi is weird. She says that, one, she didn't have, was in class or whatever, was helping that one teacher. And then two, she has horrible handwriting. Now, the horrible handwriting, Davey seems to forget very quickly. But the idea that this girl is out here had an alibi because she was with a teacher, it is what gets her off in this moment. I just find it very weird that afterwards, Davey and Nalini are able to stand in the hallway and talk about, like, so really you were yelling about Ben Gross's genitalia? And man, Davey being able to play it off and Nalini just being like, okay, bye. Like, I don't know if she's like, she's grown, she's going to talk about genitalia at some point, maybe, or maybe she's saying, I just don't have it in me. I'm tired, y'all. Like, just let her have it.
That's what I think. Because I asked my mom, right? Like, one... Crazy enough, I only got detention once. I think we've talked about this. And it was because I had my phone out at lunch. So I got detention for it. I got grounded for a week because I had one day detention. Yeah. So it's just my point. I don't get it. And I'm jealous that she's getting away with it. I'll say that. Because I'd be in hell. Like, it's just no way.
I was grounded all the time, like almost around the clock.
Yeah, same.
It's a worry. It's like, it's a wonder that I was able to do anything that we talk about on here because I was constantly grounded.
That's why we talk about college, not high
yeah,
school.
Yeah, for sure. Because, dear God, because we weren't there. We weren't in high school. We were at home.
Oh, God.
At home reading books, because my mom used to roll the TV out of the room. It was on a stand. And so I had a television in my room. And so she would just like push the damn stand out of the room and I wouldn't have TV for weeks at a time. I was like, looking back, I talk to my mom about this all the time. I'm like, looking back, you really stifled my career as a journalist because look at me now talking about television shows all the time. I get paid to talk about it. I could be so much better had you not just gotten in the way of this. You should have just let it happen.
My mom said, because I also yell at her about this. She said, actually, your eyes are ruined. So I don't know what you're talking about. And then she'll go on a whole rant about how I'm so blind and that I'm not even good enough for a podcaster to do it full time.
Wow.
Yeah.
These moms.
Listen, you can't let, my mom would never take an L, right? Like if I try it, like it's a wrap. Like I shouldn't. And that's what happens here where Nalini says, you know what? I'm just so tired of your shit. Like the point is you're going to pay for it and figure it out. Goodbye. That's the thing. My stepdad thankfully would have stepped in and helped me out here and really cleaned it for me. But you know, there is no stepdaddy yet.
Yeah. And then Davey had a job in the summertime, we find out. And so she has money. So Nelly's like, I don't know what you're saving up for, but it's gonna get this car fixed. So there you go.
Which is unfortunate because there was another thing Davey has to pay for, but we'll get to that in a second. Then we get the second story where Fabiola is trying to figure out why no woman is joining the robotics team. And Anissa is like, well, oh, hello, Anissa, by the way. Right. But anyway, Anissa, you know, says like, listen, it's a bunch of incels with toxic masculine energy and it's driving away everyone. Fabiola is in a tizzy for the rest of these two episodes.
Which is crazy because Fabiola, open your eyes. You know this. You know this about your surroundings. I think she's just gotten so used to assimilating and trying to just be like a part. Like she knows that she's like above and beyond the rest of them. And then if she wants there to be a robotics club, she has to deal with some of these nerds. And it's easier to just like roll her eyes and continue what they're doing if she wants to be great. But Fab, you got to step away from this and for a second and say, do you look around? These people suck. All these nerds, they're trash in so many ways. And nobody will want to be around them. Hell, you don't really want to be around them. You just want to do the robotics thing. That's why your and only friend smell. In the class is Gears. Yeah, and they stink.
Yes. Oh my God, Gears is literally her only friend. That's why she's been blind, because we get a few like flashbacks later on. Maybe we can wrap this quickly. Where basically then Fabiola goes on a mission to really like find the girls. And she goes into the science club or like the STEM club, and she gets, you know, again told to her face, were you in charge last Monday? Because that's when they were dragging me. And Fabiola's like, oh, okay, it me. So she yells at the boys and she's like, absolutely not. We're not going to be doing this. And Eric, if you think you're that great, explain to me this like really convoluted system. Eric has no answer.
Yeah. And it's ironic because Eric is the one who's saying, Fabiola, we're not gatekeeping robotics. You're just the exceptional one. You're the good one. You're the only one who's up to par. When, again, she's above and beyond the rest of them. So it's very weird for Eric to be saying that, but it's not out of the ordinary. You know, this is probably just a thing that comes with working in STEM and other male-dominated fields where you have some man trying to validate you and your skills when they're not even validated in their own.
Kamala, yeah. It all comes back. And I would have loved that. This just came to me.
Yeah, because they have just spoken. Exactly.
Yeah, that would have been a really beautiful women in STEM moment. Oh, damn. See, oh my God, sorry. I'm just like getting so irritated because they did Kamala so dirty.
They
like,
did.
Not even a side character. Yeah, just like worse than a side character. But anyway, you know, Sherlock Holmes apparently over here, Kamala. But yeah, so we get a whole moment, but you know, Fabiola again takes her stand, and the girl that was honest about what was going on does show up to robotics club, and turns out more girls are going to join, and all the boys are going to wear deodorant, which like my God,
bare minimum. I just know it smelled crazy in there. You know, like, and Fabiola to be able to ignore that, she has like just the patience of, you know, like just like a saint, you know, like how is she able to do this? But good thing she worked this out, and they're going to be able to bring in some more girls to be in the class, because this is just ridiculous. And she's about to graduate, so she can't leave the robotics club in disarray, right? And in the hands of this smelly group of boys.
And they're all fools, right? Like, they're all pissing me the hell off. So, and again, Eric gets a whole storyline dedicated to him. But here we are. Whatever. I'll be fine. So, that is it. That is, like, a Fabiola story kind of wrapped up in these two episodes. And then we get a moment, right, where Davey is with Professor Warner, who is her academic advisor, a role you have played for many people. And Professor Warner is now, you know, they're excited. They're like, we're going to Princeton, very ready to go. But you have to go on a trip, okay, with all the honor students get to go to, which I was like, is this normal? And there is a group that Professor Warner leads where all the honor students get to go to the East Coast only, apparently, for to look at all the Ivies, I'm assuming, or just in New York?
No, just the Ivies.
Okay, I guess that makes sense. Because are the Ivies only on the East Coast? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, huh. Yeah, because Stanford is not an Ivy. So, just bizarre. Anyway, but yeah, they're all going to go to New York to look for colleges in the tri-state area, all the honor students. And Davey got to put down her deposit, of course, because even though it's cheap, they are flying Kirkland Air, which is Costco brand. And I couldn't stop laughing, but even then it costs a bunch of money, so Davey got to put down her deposit. Well, this deposit money seems to be going to the repair shop, because she goes to Cheap Skates and he said the paint job would cost $1,100.
Ooh, I would have fell onto the floor. Okay, because I'm not spending that type of money on a paint job, not in high school at least, not on an old Subaru either.
Yeah.
She could buy another Subaru for that amount of money.
And Google.com is free. I'm very confused why she didn't look this up.
That should be your first tactic. See, Davey always has her priorities in the wrong place, because she was ready to have sex, she did all the research in the world, right? But now she has to save $1,100 and she just can't even pick up a book. You know, like, I would have figured out a way out of this one.
Yeah, there's no way. First of all, imagine me having to talk to someone. Couldn't be me, right? Talk to a stranger. I can do it, but like, am I going to talk to a stranger as like a 17-year-old high schooler? No, not to a mechanic.
I mean, so between her and Fabiola, they should have been able to put their heads together. Maybe she could ask Paxton for help. You know, she's just like, I just feel like she wasn't using her resources.
That's what I'm saying. I think she's just like Ben has got her in a blender so bad that I think she's like tunnel vision on just like, Margot did it and I have no way out of this hellhole, apparently. Yeah,
Ben's
horrible.
Ben's like a hypnotist. I just don't, you know.
I mean, that's the only way. I'm just kidding. Well, I'm like a dragon actor for no reason. Anyway, So while all of this is happening, let's get to the potty. God, I don't even know storyline. This is so random, but it's fine. So Kamala comes home early because all the little kids in her apartment complex are doing or auditioning for Hamilton, the teenage version. So she just can't. Okay. She's like, the Federalist Papers have killed me, so I got to come home early and work from home. So turns out Patti has a white man at home that she's been seeing on clandestine, unsupervised, unchaperoned dates.
Mm-hmm. So she emphasizes white man a lot.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get it.
I we get it, right? We get it. It's as the minorities, you know, we really get taught to kind of, you know, look out for our own, date with our own, just because, you know, there's not that many of us. That's why we're minorities.
Yes.
However, when it does happen and you step outside of your own, like, you know, culture, tribe, whatever the case may be, there are some looks that you might get. you definitely are going to get some feedback that might be negative. And it just feels like Patty is projecting her own thoughts about her situation onto herself, because Kamala does not seem bothered by this. She more seems bothered, more confused that Patty is calling herself a GAMILF and and dating somebody and even hiding it from everyone.
Who test drove a Ferrari. But before we even get to it, can we talk about this guy? What are you doing, Mindy?
She had to find an old white man. It wouldn't be Mindy if she didn't find a white character to go with their Indian character.
It has to be Jew, of course. I'm sorry. Like, because, listen, at the end, we find out that he's Jewish. I'll just say that. But Mindy, what's up? Ben's a white Jew. Len's a white. First of all, their names rhyme. Like,
Ben and Len.
We get it. You have a type. And it kills me, right? But this actor, just because he sucks, right? Like, I want to make that clear. I forgot his name now. And
oh, plays Lynn.
Yeah, but anyway, he got fired off of the Goldbergs because for really horrible shit. I'll just say that.
Really? I don't think I knew that.
Oh yeah, he sucks.
Oh, okay. Jeff Garland.
Jeff Garland. I was like, Jeff Garland. He's not Jeff Goldblum. Anyway, yes. So, yeah. So he is problematic. I don't understand why he was chosen. It just makes no sense because he was associated with a lot of misconduct on the, I think, the Goldbergs and maybe other stuff. And I don't know. He's mega problematic. And I think it was like sexually, like, issues, but I don't want to say for sure.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I'm seeing violent and yes. verbal and physical conduct is what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, who knows, but apparently Mindy Kaling was okay with it enough to give him this job. I don't know. Maybe she did her own investigation, who knows.
Yeah, basically he was abusive and it is frustrating because when I saw him, I was like, wait a minute, wasn't he fired? So I'd be in the know like that. So I gotta look at my Jews and be up on what they're up to. So it just, and it's crazy because he was also on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So it's just, we get it. He's like the curmudgeon-y Jew, but I don't understand why a bunch of people have talked to him and talked about him, accused him. And it's so unfortunate that was okay for Never Have I Ever to have him. But anyway,
I think she just couldn't find the right old Jewish man. You know, she knew she needed
Larry one. David was right there.
Was he?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Now, Patty and Jerry Seinfeld. That'd be interesting.
I think I would love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe she had to pick can't afford him.
Yeah, they definitely cannot afford him. And then also, maybe you have to pick somebody who you don't trust, because throughout this season, at no point do I trust this character. I'm sorry, I just don't.
Yeah, 1000%. He's giving shady to just down hell. Okay, and I'm tired of it. So, and then Kamala, you know, very much is like, who the hell is this white man? But, like, you should, you know, come out to the family with it. Like, don't be stressed out. Like, we'll be okay. And while all of that is happening, Patty does end up coming out to the family about who she's dating. And she's like, I'm a common harlot. I'm so sorry, everyone. But everyone's just happy for her. And they're like, go live your life, queen. But this is going to eventually come out to very horrible things. And Kamala, they're gonna like ruin her storyline. Let's just say that.
Well, for one, Patty is being ridiculous because she's saying, like, disown me if you must. You know, I'm Patty a harlot, all this other stuff. Well, the thing is, she's projecting because that's exactly how she treated Kamala when Kamala had her secret relationship, you know. And so, and Kamala brings it up, like, remember that time with Manish? And this is the most relatable thing that I've seen is that Patty's like, nope, don't know what you're talking about. I always liked him. What are you talking about? Nope, he's great.
That's so parents. Yep.
Yeah. What? My parents are like that. Like, I always liked that person. Like, no, you didn't. No, you effing didn't.
You lie like a rug.
Like a rug, damn it. And so Patty's like, nope, I always liked Manish. What are you talking about? Where is he? Where is Manish? Mindy?
He's ghost, literally and figuratively. Literally. I'm tired of this, okay? And then we also get this moment, which I wanted to bring up, right? Patty talks about how her husband died 20 years ago, and she's still expected to live the life of a widow and kind of like be, be with their grandchildren mm-hmm. and not like be a passionate sexual, you know, whatever that may mean. I don't mean like sex in like penetration, just like she has no intimacy, right? You're almost seen, and this is very true in Indian culture, like you're seen as an, you know, once you have children, it's almost like, why are you worried about anything else? Like, your kid should be your whole life. There's right. this, I don't know that I would recommend it, but there's this thing on a show on Netflix, or it's a movie, but it's four different short stories in it, and they're called Lust Stories. And they're like Black Mirror with sex, basically, because the twists are ridiculous. But anyway, and they actually talk a lot about this because this is such a big taboo in Indian culture where you don't talk about like female intimacy. You don't talk about like that women deserve love too, because if a man was a widower, he would get to remarry, no problem. Mm-hmm. But this is a lot. This is very true of like women. And you have to just kind of stay. And this is, unfortunately, what Nalini has been doing, too. So it's just I appreciated them, like, tackling that.
Yeah. And if you notice, it's the older generations that are keeping these traditions going. So then when the younger generation get older, if they continue to let this stuff happen, it will always go. And so this is very much the breaking of a cycle. Because now if Nalini, Nirmala can see this, where if Nirmala can say, okay, there's nothing wrong with this, then when Nalini goes to, you know, to remarry, then she supports that. Or, you know, if something happens and Kamala has to, you know, get into a different relationship later on, you know, you start to see these patterns broken, and then it makes, you know, for healthy relationships moving forward. But yeah, generally speaking, this stuff comes from the top down. You know, we just pass down what we know. And then someone has to speak up. And I think them speaking up for Nirmala is for the best here. Because, I mean, she'll die alone and not even look for love because she'll think she's supposed to.
And it's horrible. Everyone deserves, if you want it, everyone deserves mm-hmm. what you want. And if you want partnership and you want companionship, we're not meant to, like, live alone. Like, that's just not who we are. And our life shouldn't just be, like, taking care of others. Like, we deserve to be held mm-hmm. and taken care of as well. So I appreciate it. And I hope Nalini wakes up from all of this, because Patti is blazing the way, okay, for all of us. Oh my god. But yes, so turns out I think those are our stories. Now we can leave our side characters away, because we're back to main. Okay, because Devi is now pissed off because she's realized that she has to spend all of her money fixing her car for a new paint job instead of going to New York. And they're trying to have a conversation about how she's pissed at Margot, la, la, la. But Eleanor is just fully thirsting, tongue out, like, in the comical way and everything, for the new hottie, Ethan. And I can't, Chappelle. I hate Ethan.
Yeah, he sucks. But this is a high school trope for sure. Correct. It's just the bad boy, in quotation marks, who... these girls, especially the good girls, are just like drawn to because it's exciting and they have no business being with that person, but they just can't see it because he might change for them, or maybe they don't even want him to change.
Ladies,
maybe
they will, like, never, excitement. He will never change for you.
Sasha, they hear you, they're not going to listen. But
you are not made. Don't unpack any baggage.
They're not going to listen. You can say whatever you want. They're not going to listen. And I like that the show characterizes Ethan as almost a cartoon version of that, right? Like, yes. He's not only the bad boy, he is a bad boy. He's unapologetic. He's not like, I guess I'll try to do better. He's like, no, actually, I did this. I stole this. I broke this. I vandalized this. And I kissed you. And I wanted to. And that's it. And you're going to like me for it. And all the girls are like, okay. That's it.
Yeah. No fights. Zero Fs given. Right? Like, he's like, yep, I did that. I just didn't think I'd get caught. Is his life goal. And I'm tired of it, Ethan. I'm tired of it. But also, I don't think I was ever attracted to this kind of boy. So maybe that's just me. But here we are. And, you know, Eleanor said, listen, I got to get over Trent by getting under Ethan. It's what I do. It's how I roll. It's Dua Lipa's principle.
Which she made up, because those are not the lyrics to that song. I believe Dua Lipa's like, don't pick up the phone. Because, you know, he's only drunk calling you, or don't let him in. Dua Lipa was actually giving, like, real advice. And I think she actually says, if you're under him, you ain't getting over him. But I'm not sure what she wanted to hear.
If you run to him, you ain't getting over him. So wake up.
Right.
Wake up. Stand
Eleanor
up.
Eleanor does not care. No, she's done.
She's just trying she's to done. Validate her feelings. Okay, let's be clear. And so she, you know, she's like, this is it. This is who I want. All right. So now we get Davey, right? Because Davey's like, yeah, that's my friend's man. Got it. Davey is now talking to Ben. This is where I'm like, just stand up. Leave him alone. Because she's just still, I feel like, fighting for him. Because she's like, how can you be with someone that hates me this much? I thought we were friends. La, la, la. No, stop. Don't make me take Ben's side, Davey. Stop it.
It's hard. It's hard not to take Ben's side in a lot of these situations because Davey is not reacting as maturely as she should be. And it's not her fault either because, I mean, she was put in an awful situation. That episode one would have thrown anybody into a blender, okay?
1,000%.
But now that she's in it, you know, I think, I don't, I at first I thought, I was reading it like she was trying to break up Ben and Margot like as a revenge. You know,
yeah,
like, oh,
that's
well, maybe if
what
I
thought too.
Yeah, but then it's somewhere it shifted into like, well, why aren't you being a better friend to me anyway, Ben? You know, and I was like, oh, there it is again. Those feelings are slipping out. And yeah, it's pretty bad because Davey's never going to get over this like this. And she's like, Ben is telling her, I know that I have to either take your side or Margot's side. And Margot's my girlfriend. I got to take her side. I can't fault him for that, Sasha.
Yeah, one, I agree, unfortunately, because I think we know with Anissa, with Shira, right? Like, he has always gotten caught up with Davey when he's been with someone else. And I don't think he deserves that, neither does the other girl. But later, what he does is what really pisses me off. This, for now, I'm like, I think he's right. He's being a grown-up about it. It is okay.
He let Davey cook him up because he was standing his ground. And then next thing I know, he's talking to Margot like, are you sure?
I know.
Are you positive it wasn't you who did this? Or you could tell me. You could tell me. And she's like, you don't trust me. You trust Davey, who we know is insane. You trust Davey over me. And that's a problem. And before he can even, like, they can really talk it through, she gets dragged to the principal's office because Davey has overheard that apparently her alibi wasn't good and that she was not with
Miss Nooney was
time.
Out being a doula. Yeah.
Right. And so that proves in Davey's mind that Margot is guilty. And so now Margot is at the principal's office again. And Ben goes with her this time, which is odd.
Yeah, it's just he's ride or die standing up
stand
for
by
his
woman.
Yes. Yeah. As she goes to jail. Yeah.
he gonna wait for her until she get out.
Prison Bay.
Yes, stick beside her while she do her bead.
Correct. Okay, he's gonna ride or die for real. Honestly, who else can he get?
A real one. Yes, Ben.
Oh my God. So they're in their, you know, the smackdown's about to be laid down. Principal Grubbs is like, listen, I know you lied. I know what happened. And then it's almost like they just press pause on the conversation because while that's happening and while Ben is like, damn, maybe Davey was right, blah, blah, blah. And Margo's like, you don't trust me. Like, this is ridiculous. Okay. They're pausing. And oh my God, Ethan is in the class. They're in Spanish class. And I'm tired, right? I'm tired because Ethan is just so disrespectful. And I don't think I'm a teacher's pet, but I don't like teachers or authority figures necessarily being mad at me. So I could never, I'd be like, this guy's a dickhead. Because he's just like constantly pushing the Spanish teacher's buttons. And he obviously speaks Spanish fluently. So he goes and writes, I have three turtles in Spanish. And lo and behold, the three turtles has a lot of T's in it. And it has the same psychopath T's as Davey's car.
The cross on these T's is so low that Ethan writes like a third grader. He writes so poorly. It's really a shame that this man has made it this far in life. I just don't know how he did it and got this far in school, but this is him. And he calls Senora Diaz a bitch, a stupid bitch at some point in Spanish and in English because, you know, he does know both languages. But this is the thing that that keys Davey into the fact that Ethan is the culprit. He did it. She even asked him point blank, like, did you vandalize my car? He's like, oh yeah, it was your car. Yeah.
Was that I thought it was Senora Diaz, whatever her name is. Senora Diaz.
Diaz. Yeah.
Yeah. No. How do you not hit someone?
Right. That's what I'm saying. At that point, Davey's supposed to dive across the table and just start punching him.
Yeah. Like the Mean Girls, right? Where they're like, this is the cafeteria. It's the jungle. And it's like people jumping over jumping over the tables. That should have at least been the cutaway. Because my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the fantasy, whatever you want to call it. Because I'm tired.
Yeah, he unapologetically admits this. You know, just like, yeah, I did it. And he says it to where Senora Diaz can hear him. Then he says it in Spanish as Senora Diaz, really in a funny way, is like, yeah. And if you're going to say it, at least say it in Spanish. It's Spanish class. But yeah, now
he said, Pero es estúpida. I was like, oh.
Yeah. I was like, bold move. But yeah, Davey realizes that she screwed up.
So she, you know, I feel like grown up. This is our girl being grown up because she could have sat on it. But she didn't.
Which we've seen her do in the past.
Yes.
Remember the Anissa storyline? Davey let that go on for a way. Like, she helped look for the person who did it.
Correct. She was in the... But, you know, she learned. Our girl has learned from her mistakes. And she's like, I can't let another Ben's girlfriend go down for this. Oh, it's a pattern. And she runs into the principal's office. And she tells, you know, a Principal Grubb is like, listen, like, this is... I know who actually did it. I can't believe Principal Grubb said, I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm tired of your shit. You have ruined all of our lives.
I can. I believe it. Davey does this every year. Every year, we're in here behind something that Davey had made up. Then we're chasing down people. We're suspending people by mistake. Davey's getting people's kick. Basically, people are like dropping out of school to get away from Davey. You know, she almost ruined Aniso's entire life. Now she's doing this to Margot. Honestly, Davey, I don't care who you're about to pin this on. We've done this already. I've seen enough. You can go.
I'm tired, right? We're all tired. But I just feel like, you know, as like right is right, wrong is wrong. This genius Ethan should have gotten in trouble. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But it's fine because Davey got this. Okay. So Davey is trying to apologize, but she gets the lashings from everyone. And Margo's also like kind of pissed at Ben and being like, so you don't trust me. Like, is that what happened? Like, what's going on? But they're still kind of like together at this point. So fine. Davey runs into Ben at the lockers later and apologizes, right, for the mix-up. And Ben says, listen, Margo has asked me not to talk to you anymore. So we're kind of done being friends. And Davey's like, what the hell? So this, again, Dwight Howard, I hate you. You have ruined everything for everyone. And yeah, that's it. And Davey goes on a spiral. But this is what I mean. Be a grown-up, right? If you're going to make decisions, stand by them. Don't be a spineless jellyfish. And blame Margo.
Yeah, for sure. Him saying Margo doesn't think it's a good idea if we talk, that's definitely being like, okay, trying to figure out a way to tell Davey I don't want to talk to you anymore without taking the blame for it. He definitely should have taken, the accountability. Just been like, look, I've already told you once before, we're not good together. This is proof. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have it in him. I think he can tell Davey's going through and he doesn't want to hurt her feelings. But still, I think the decision to not talk to Davey is the correct decision, but he definitely didn't handle it the right way.
And don't pit women against each other. Like, just be a grown up. I don't appreciate it at all. So, of course, that's the end. Davey is, you know, the anger meter has gone above the head now. And she immediately goes over to Ethan. And I love it. All of the Hot Pocket can get it at this point. They're all getting killed. Because she's yelling at him, takes a skateboard. He gives zero Fs because he has multiple at home. And then that little short one, she just towers over him. And she's like, do you want to know why they call me Crazy Davey? I bet you he doesn't, punk. And she yells at him and she says, you better fix my car.
Right. And she thinks that she did something here. And I'm very proud of her for still standing up for herself, because there's no reason why Davey should have to pay for this if we know Ethan did it. Later on, Ethan pulls up at the crib and he is going to fix the car. He texts her, I'm outside. She comes outside and they talk about it. And he's like, I got this spray, this can of spray. It'll make the paint go away. There's no problem here. You don't have to spend a bunch of money. Obviously, Skeet was trying to get over on her. But more importantly, when she yelled at him in the hallway, he liked it. He liked how angry she was. It turned him on. And now he is looking at Davey like, he wants a piece of that. And she might have a crush on him too now, just because of the desire he has for her. That's our girl.
Listen, if you like me, I like you back. I get it. And he's hot. Let's be clear, I guess. But I'm not my type. But, you know, it is what it is. Because I'm just like, he just can't stop calling women bitches. We don't want this, Davey. But nope, she said, you think I'm kind of hot? Well, I think you're kind of hot.
Yep. And now we're about to have a clandestine lunch or something like that between the two of them. But yeah, this is bad because she knows that Eleanor also has a crush on him as well. And so it wouldn't be Dave if we didn't have random ass drama behind the boy. And so here we are.
Yeah. And this time again with her friend. Why? Right? Like, we just wrapped up with Margot, another girl. Now we're jumping into you versus Eleanor. I hate this. Mm-hmm. I hate this for my girl. Yeah. And of course, we end this episode with Paxton's back. Hello, welcome. He has an interview for a for the assistant swimming coach position. So you only need a high school degree or diploma, I guess.
I don't know. I guess it's, yeah, probably, right? Because he's probably not going to teach a class. He's probably just there, like, on a, you know, contract or whatever. I don't know. But I definitely was shocked to see this. Davey shocked. She asked him if he even gave college a chance. And for a second, he kind of tries to pull, like, that's very elitist of you to think that college. Like, Paxton, you know what the hell she's talking about. Don't play. You've been gone for 3 days. Yeah, you know, college could not be for everyone. But after 3 days, it does feel like you didn't give it a shot. But he's back now.
Yeah. And listen, the Paxton storyline is, again, they're doing my boy so bad. Because he is very much the trope of the attractive jock, right, that peaked in high school and that's just taking many L's. So we see Paxton, you know, being there for Trent and being a good friend, but besides that, he's going to parties with high schoolers. He isn't really connecting with any of the teachers, but we see the new substitute, you know, maybe we see it, okay? Maybe not. I don't know. And we get a moment of finally Paxton, like, just being or overhearing people being like, oh, this is a has-been.
Yeah. Yeah. He at first thinks he's still the king of the school. He thinks he came back to a place that he was comfortable. Mm-hmm. He was getting a warm reception. He got invited to the parties. But Lindsay, the new substitute teacher,
he
does try to tell him, like, hey, you know, it might be tough around here knowing that you know, are the person who, quote unquote, peaked in high school. He doesn't believe it until he's forced to hear it from, you know, like, overhear it in the parking lot. And so now Paxton is in a blender too, because he has to figure out what's next for him. You know, like, should he have stayed in college? Should he have come back to Sherman Oaks? We don't even know.
Yeah. And I think this is what I want better for Paxton, right? I feel like he's tried really hard. We've saw actually all last season where he just worked so hard to get where he needed to be on education and not his swimming laurels. So I want better for him. I don't want him to just be like, this is comfortable and be stuck here. He doesn't deserve that. His character doesn't deserve that. But I get it. I think it is also normal, right, for someone to feel this way. And I think it's okay to show that college isn't for everyone, but then lean into it, right? Like, it's
right.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. We'll get into that at the end, I guess. Mm-hmm. Also maybe foreshadowing for Davey. Who knows? So and then, you know, so that's like the Paxton storyline, right? Like, unless there's anything else we need to talk to about him.
No, he's just there for Trent, you know, and when Trent needs him.
Yes.
That's always cool to see because Trent was very concerned that Paxton was going to leave him behind. And turns out, no, he's back, and the two buddies are back together. And I think Trent needed him a lot around this time, and Paxton probably needed Trent too.
Correct. I'm grateful that this is all back together as well, because I like their interactions, and Trent deserves someone to make him feel loved. Oof. And then all of that's happening. All right. But let's get into the adult storyline a little now. Because the adult. Yeah,
never yes. Have you ever liked the bad boy, Sasha?
Yeah. No, I'm not into that. Yeah, I just thought about it. I was like, actually, no, I'm the bad boy.
Karthik is your bad boy. Karthik is your bad boy. Stop it.
Let's be clear. The boy's an engineer.
I have been the bad boy.
Yeah, me. That's what I'm saying. I think I'm the bad boy they date, not the other way around.
I also know a type,
so that's why.
Yeah, I've been the bad boy, but I've also not been the bad boy. It just depends. It depends on the situation. Sometimes people are too good, and then I'm bad, like by comparison. But for the most part, I'm pretty, you know, tame.
Yeah, that's what happens to me, where it's like they're just a really good person. And again, I have criteria even when I was young, so I'm never going to date a douche. But it just, there's only room for one douche. That's me. So yeah, I'm the bad boy that they like, maybe. But yes, so in episode 4, you know, it's really the adults kind of making some moves here, where we just a lot of physical comedy, because we're Nalini's on her way to work and she just slips and rolls down the stairs.
Yep.
Which if you're in a Bollywood movie, everyone, just know that there is a very famous Bollywood scene where this woman from Hamsat Sat. I forgot the name. Hold on. It'll come back to me. But anyway, she like falls down the stairs and dies. And she's like a pregnant woman. So her sister, and so her husband is now a widower, and her sister, who's the main actress, has to marry her brother-in-law, you know, because it's like keeping in the same family kind of moment. But in fact, that the main actress is in love with the brother-in-law's brother.
Oh, messy.
So that is the story.
Look at the stairs doing the work.
Yeah, so wait, every time I see Indians falling down the stairs, that is all I will think of for the rest of my life. But anyway, so it's just, I was like, oh, dramatic, let's do it. And while all of that is happening, turns out they have a termite infestation. And don't worry, Shady Len has had a contractor to help figure out the series. Don't worry, okay? The stairs are going to get fixed because Len is a platinum, right? Like Yelp reviewer. So we're all good. And Patti got it covered. But can I just say, okay, in California, trying to find a contractor is truly horrible. And I actually understand this struggle where you're just at the mercy of them. Trying to redo my backyard, wanted to shoot myself in the head.
Well, that's a good point, because, you know, throughout this episode, we do see that Nalini is struggling with her contractor, but she really doesn't have anywhere else to turn to. So she kind of has to deal with him. So later on in the episode, they have to have it out. But he still has to finish this job, because who else are they going to call?
Correct. Ghostbusters at this point, because my God. So yes, it's a termite infestation. And after Davey falls, Nalini says, okay, I got to fix it. I got it. So no, turns out the contractor is Mr. Ramos, of course. Has to be, right? Because our guy has to come back. And I love that Mr. Ramos, with his little sexism, is like, oh, who, you know, don't stick your husband at me. And it's like, no, I am the husband. I'm the man of the house. Are you going to fix this or not? And he's like, fine, I'll fix it. Right, we have a little back and forth, which I was like, ooh, an enemies to lover trope. I love it. I'm here for it.
My mom has pulled the I am the mom, I am the husband card before on people, you know, when it was really just me and her. Yeah, definitely. Because like people try to take advantage of women and especially like moms. And my mom's like, no. There will be like, oh yeah, we'll have your husband come up here and talk to the coach of the basketball team and blah, blah, blah. I was like, nope, I'll be there. Thanks. You know, and she handles it. It's embarrassing, but it's like, but she handles it. So I'll take it, whatever, as long as it gets done.
That's correct. Yeah, like I have to be very careful about what I complain to my mom about, because it will get handled. Like as a Libra, she's very passionate about justice. So she'll remember everything. Yeah. And she's just like, no, this person did you wrong. Like, did I tell you about the time my mom? Yeah. My mom is very clear about this. This is super off topic, but someone did my mom dirty because my mom is learning tap dance, like I shared. Okay. I think I told a few people. But anyway, my mom's learning tap dance, and she got the instructor asked her to sit down because the class is too hard for her.
Wow.
I literally was like, let me fight this bitch. this stupid bitch. Let me write it on her car. But my mom remembered it, right? Like the Libra she is. And everyone else in the class did like encourage her after that song was done. And the woman like kind of apologized. But then my mom is so petty that the next time she went to class and that song came on, my mom was like, oh, do you want me to sit down? She said it in front of the whole class.
Yep. We look, I love a good petty response. You know, correct. You started it, I'm going to finish it every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my mom doesn't suck. She's a good dancer. But yeah, so that's my mom. So I am embarrassed and I will not tell her unless I need her to intervene because she will intervene and end it all.
Yeah. Well, we see that pettiness in this episode too, right? Correct. Later on, the stairs don't get fixed. It's days go by.
Yeah, they're all out.
Basically, they just removed the stairs from the house altogether, so they can't even get to the top floor, which I didn't even know you could do, but they did it. And right. It's done, to where they have to go track down Mr. Ramos, Andres, as we will find out later on, because he needs to finish this project, and he's been gone for 5 days. Davy used her Gen Z powers to go find him, and then it turns out he's at a different construction site, so he's just completely just left them for dead, basically. And Nelany has to pull up on him. So when she does, Sasha, I was not expecting the response of, well, what we end up getting, which is I was just being petty. Like, I didn't think he was just going to come out and say it.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I think they both have a, like, heart to heart, right? That, oh, we both are raising we're both single parents, raising daughters, extremely dramatic daughters. And I felt like, you know, Mr. Ramos was going hard for Margo. And I was like, Nelany, step up, like, please. Because he's doing it all and you're not. But anyway, so I feel like they had a heart to heart. That's why I think he felt okay to kind of share that, like, yeah, I was being petty. I'll be there next week, I promise. So, which again, most contractors wouldn't be honest. I'll tell you that.
Nope. No.
Okay. They don't give a fuck. Honestly, people should be getting in. Fuck the STEM stuff. You should be getting into like trade and contracting. That's where the money is. And I don't care what anyone says. Like, let me tell you.
And even not for money, just to protect yourself. You know, like you should know how to just do basic maintenance on your car, know how to do basic maintenance on your home. Because the first time you call these people, like it's just, we saw it in the first episode or the second episode. Davy is almost taking advantage of because of the paint thing, right? It's like, you could just bought a spray. These men and, you know, contractors in general will take advantage of you, especially if you're a woman. But they will take advantage of you because they think, oh, you don't have any other place to go to get this information. So, yeah, if you got some time, just do some research. Just before you call somebody, just Google it. I'm not saying you know all the answers, but be informed of what other people are saying because these people will take over. And
YouTube is a great, great help with that. Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, we literally had to call someone to fix our washing machine because the water wasn't draining. And he said $500 just to come out.
Just to come.
Just to come. And thank God I have an engineer that knows how to, like, put stuff together. So he's like, I got it. And he fixed it. Fixed the whole thing. So it's unfortunate, but here we are. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think you have to have someone in the house that can fix stuff because, by God, these people love to take advantage. And that's what Mr. Ramos was doing. I don't appreciate it. But, they almost put his ass on the news for scam busters. So he didn't want that. He said, I got to protect my small business. My person of color ran small business.
Yeah.
Oof. So yeah, we do see some little embers going, but we don't know yet what happens here.
Nelany loves a single dad. Boy. The moment you say, like, oh yeah, I too have a child, she's like, really? Okay. Because I think she did, like, I can relate to you a little bit better.
Yes.
So it's easier for her to go in. I see what she be saying. It's just so funny that we just did this with Common, and now we're doing it again with Mr. Ramos. It's like, oh, you have a child, you say. Okay, put down the Instagram. put down the scam busters. I think we can talk this out. So it softens her heart a lot of times.
Oh, my God. I agree be 100% right. And I just couldn't stop laughing at all of it because it's just so silly that just because, you know, his wife left him, it doesn't equal he's like a good man, right? Like, that's all I'm saying. His wife was shitty. She left him and Margot. But Nalini said, single parent, single dad, I'm in. I'm winning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Please. Look, do your thing then. Nalini, she has a type. She has a type. Let her do a thing.
At least it's a person of color. She's
Stop it.
Bars on the floor. Anyway, so that, yeah, that's like our adult storyline, right? Like, I think that's it for the adults. So we now get Davey and Ethan time, which shouldn't happen, okay? Because we wake up, or not we wake up, Davey, the opening scene is a is a sex dream. I hate to say it, yuck. That Davey's in detention, and it's not a Paxton thing to take off the shirt with one hand. It's a Davey thing because that's what Ethan does too. Not as smooth as Paxton, but he does it. We see the chiseled torso, which I was like, John McEnroe narrating this is so gross.
Yeah.
Like, please. And then I love that the sex dream is quickly come to a halt because Ethan says, yeah, you're a bad girl too. You put books on the floor. It's horrible. My heart breaks. You put books on the floor and you go behind your friend's back and you stab her in the back because she likes me. Sex dream over.
Yeah, but that is the case. You know, he did not lie. That's the thing. Davey is attracted to Ethan, but she's also attracted to this bad aspect of it. She just won't admit it. And this sex dream is highlighting that. Like, Ethan is saying, you think I'm such a bad boy. And that's probably true. But you're a bad girl. And I think that is just so uncomfortable to watch. I was like, so dear God, get me out of this episode.
Like, if anyone ever was like, you're a bad girl, I'll slap you. Like, shut the hell up.
Nah, call me a bad boy. I don't mind.
So, here you go. You heard it here first. Next live event, you know how to get him a drink and then say you're a bad boy.
And then get me another one.
Oh man, maybe you'll get something. I don't know. Anyway. Oh God, what are we doing? Okay. So Davey is trying to, you know, avoid Ethan at all costs, and she's like, I'm trying to get, you know, him out of my head. And the best way to do it, I think, is Eleanor starts dating Ethan. Girl.
Yeah. She's like, if he's off limits. It just makes
no sense.
Well, I think she just feels like he's still available. And maybe if he's unavailable, she won't do it. But like, Davey, come on, man. He should be unavailable because he's an asshole who like vandalized your car and curses out the teachers. And on top of that, Eleanor already likes him and has identified that she wants to make a move at him, but that's not enough. Davey's like, if you ain't got a ring on it, then I don't acknowledge you as taken. So she's like, okay, well, you gotta lock down Eleanor, and then I won't have to be like tempted to come after you. So they end up going to a party. Ethan basically invites Davey to the party, and like through proxy, she invites Fab and Eleanor.
Yeah, you should roll through. That's it. That's all he says. Like, no other anything. And everyone is very excited. A beer party. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I can't. They've been to these before. It just
kills me. Yeah. And at the party, all hell breaks loose, everyone. Like, by God. Because they're at the party. Eleanor is trying really hard to hit on Ethan, but Trent and her are having some awkward tension running between them. It's too much. And Ethan is suspiciously close to Davey, but she's like, let me pull away. Let me not talk to you. And she goes outside because because she's pushing Eleanor onto him, right? So she's like, come on, go do it. Yeah. And she goes outside. Well, turns out, when he goes outside, Ethan comes out, and Ethan's like joining them all. Very sweet. Ethan's like, I see you're alone. We knew what was going to happen. And he's like, can I kiss you?
Yeah, this is bad. And he says, you want to make out? And she goes, yeah.
Does she even answer? Was consent enthusiastically given? Methinks not. But it's okay, I guess. Body language is part of it.
Yeah, she met him more than met him halfway on the kiss. And she even stops to kind of look around to see if Eleanor is looking. The coast is clear. And then she continues to kiss this man, only to then get caught by Eleanor.
Yeah, she tried, right? She was like, let me pull away. Let me be a good person. Until I'm not. And Eleanor does see it. And this is where I was like, let's fight, Ethan, right? It's on site. Because Davey's like, but he likes me. He's been giving me vibes all party and all week, blah, blah, blah. And Eleanor's like, really? Really? Because guess what? He just kissed me.
I was done. Fell on the floor. Ethan is an all-time character. Now, this man's an amazing character because when Eleanor shows up, the first thing out of Ethan's mouth when he gets caught is, Eleanor, we were just talking about you. And I was like, wait, what? And then only like 5 seconds later, like, oh, yeah, and you were just kissing her. Y'all were just making out. I don't know. I thought this might be an issue for Davey and Eleanor in the past. We've seen, you know, relationship struggles like kind of drive a wedge between them. Mm-hmm. I'm happy this didn't stretch out any longer than it did.
Yeah. Oh, 1,000%. It's just none of this makes sense. I'm tired of Ethan. So the girls do decide, right, that, hey, let's stay away, right? Fabiola says, listen, I know it's easiest for me to do this, but we've never let a boy come in between us. So let's not do it again. Please, okay? And again, I know it's easy for me. I love it. I love how she keeps pushing that. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, please, okay, let's leave them be. Please, let's leave it. So I appreciate that. I loved it. And they decide, okay, we're going to let the boys be. And we also have a Professor Thompson, right, which you alluded to earlier. She's now the new AP Lit teacher who also was trying to put Ben and Davey together. But Ben is like, I want to know from the whole class, not just Ben, not just Davey. Which, again, in normal times, Ben would be like, I hate everyone. So, yeah, I get the smartest person in class. Let's do that.
Yeah.
But no.
He can't deal with Davey. I got to defend Ben again here because Davey is still yelling about their bad sex in the middle of the classroom.
Oh, my.
You got to get away from me. You got to get away from me, Davey. We cannot keep talking about this. Not in class, not in front of all my friends or people that we know and the teacher. And Margot doesn't even like you. You got to go.
Oh, it's so bad. Like, I cannot believe she's like, I mean, I know we had bad sex. David, shut up.
Shut the hell up. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Because if that phone call gets made home, like if Principal Grubbs has to call Nelany and say, hey, Davey keeps yelling about their bad sex, Davey will die. Davey will be dead. And that's the end of the season.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she will throw you down the non-existent stairs. You will be in Hum Up Ke Hai Kaun. Like, that would be you. You're going to be the sister. Like, stop. I don't want this for you. Oh, my God. the wrath, right? Like, they use your brain. I know your prefrontal cortex is not developed 100%, mm-hmm. but, like, you're still smarter, allegedly, than a lot of your peers. So, like, what is the reason?
Them hormones then kicked in. You know, that's a different monster. The hormones kick in. The logic goes way out of the window, and she's lost it.
Yeah. What is that show with the hormone monster?
Yes. Is it?
Oh, Human my Resources? God. No.
Yeah, Human Resources.
That's what it was called?
Yeah, they have that and Big Mouth.
Big Mouth.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
The same, like, universe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, I'm thinking of Big Mouth. Yeah. With Maya Rudolph.
Yes, exactly. Bubble Bath.
Yeah. That is a John McEnroe for Davey, I guess. Horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and again, it's just, it doesn't stop because Margot then tells Ben that, you know, like, I want you to know that, like, I don't care that you're not talking to Davey. Oh boy. And Davey overhears it. And she knows that it was Ben all along.
Yeah. And ooh. This hurts her feelings. But again, it's like she can't even be that mad. It's like, okay, Davey, you've been tripping. He does need to get his distance. Yeah, it makes Ben, you do look weak. But aside from that, there's really nothing Davey can do here. So she decides to break her pact with Eleanor and to go make herself feel better by going after Ethan, who we know that she still likes a little bit.
And who invited her to go watch him skate. And again, this could never be me. Like, watching a man do something and just being the cheerleader is just, I'd rather gouge my eyes out. And I know, like, that's a supportive spouse, like, parent, not parent. That's what supportive people do. But I think I would only do that for my child. I don't think I could do it for anyone else. I'm horrible.
That's funny. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if she was trying to be supportive or if she was just trying to be seen. She was just trying to be
present. That's valid. You're right. Yeah. But I'm just saying, if some boy was like, come watch me throw a ball, I would literally throw myself down the stairs.
That's our new thing. That's our new thing on Never Have I Ever podcast. We should be like, yeah, you should get thrown down the stairs.
I'll send you the clip. It's so dramatic. Like, the music, and she's 9 months pregnant. Like, it's too much. That movie part. Anyway, so she shows up, okay? And lo and behold, who is there but Eleanor?
She beat it to it.
Woo! Because Eleanor is out here thirsting, and look, you know, maybe Eleanor will get her torso shot too. We're all just, you know, floating down the thirst sea here. So they're both arguing, and Eleanor is like, listen, I kissed him first. He came up to me first, so I deserve him over Trent. And while they're like arguing, because Davey then, you know, kind of just like pours her heart out, and she's like, I deserve him because Ben is so bad. I had bad sex, but I'm in hell, okay? And I want him. Just give me him. Give me Ethan. And Eleanor shares why she deserves him. And in that time, Davey gets knocked over, by one of the other skater boys, and Trent heard the entire conversation. And poor Trent, he's like, you kissed someone already? Oh,
you know, again, I'm with Trent. It's been like a day. Eleanor, damn, this man proposed to you, and you're like, we should still be together. But also, the moment we break up, you're going to move on? I get why she tried to move on. She's obviously just trying to get her mind off of this relationship that she just left, which is what she ends up saying. But if I'm Trent, oh, yeah, I'm pissed. Because I'm thinking, Ethan was there while we were dating. How long have you wanted to kiss this man? You know, I saw the growth spurt. I seen the abs. How long you been wanting this man? You know, and so, my boy Trent, his heart is broken. He looks so sad. I like the actor, because he really, like, really looks like a sad child in this moment.
Yes, 1,000%. And it's so sad, because then when Paxton and Trent are, you know, just talking through his feelings, Trent goes, well, I still like her. And it's such unfortunate that she moved on so easily, when I am just wondering if she's looking at the same moon I am, or a different moon, but, you know, a moon nonetheless. And it's just, so, like, I was just like, yeah. But then turns out Eleanor does back off. And she says, you can have Ethan, Davey. I think you need this, because I actually don't want him. I still want Trent, because I stay up at night wondering if he's looking at the moon.
Oh,
I lost it. I love this. This is love. This is the kind of rom-com shit I'm into.
Right. But I'm with Trent, though. Trent, don't you do it. Don't you go back. You know, like,
back, Trent.
You don't have to go back. We don't have to do this. Look at a different moon, as they say.
No, why? They both like each other.
Yeah, she turned down your proposal, and now she's kissing all other dudes. Trent, you move on, Trent. Stand up.
How dare you?
Drop your crown, queen.
How dare you? He is the king. That's why he should go back to find the queen.
He needs to find a queen. Let her
be led astray by these plebes.
A queen wouldn't be led astray, Sasha. That's Trent, do better.
Happens
do all right.
To the best of us. Okay. You see some washboard abs and you lose your mind. Oh my god. Come back, Trent. Trent has to play the baby come back to me. Baby, I don't want to be free. God.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But
we'll see what happens here. But, you know, we know that they're both pining for each other. But, you know, TLDR, Davey can have Ethan.
Yeah.
And that's wild.
Yeah, because now Davey actually has a guy that wants her back. You know, we've seen Davey and all these, like, she likes him, but he doesn't like her, or they really hate each other, but they're going to get together. Look, she identified a guy. He identified her. He's not the science kid from last season or whatever. Slug boy. So, you know, this could work.
Yeah,
this could work. And now they're kissing and stuff. They like each other, and they both agree that they're only going to kiss each other. So they are exclusively kissing each other. That's where we leave them.
And this was big for Davey, that I feel that she drew a line, right? She wasn't just like, a hot boy likes me, so I'm going to like just go along with it. She's like, no, here's a boundary, and you're not going to cross it, period. So I love that. I like it. I appreciate it. And I think it's going to get hot and steamy for episode four. We'll see.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable, but I guess we'll talk about it next time.
Yeah, listen, high schoolers having sex, apparently. That's it. That's all we're going to be worried about lately. But it's Davey finally deserves something good. And at the end of these two episodes, we're seeing that things are like landing a little bit into place. Will they be wrecked the next episode? We shall see. But for now, Davey does get the hot boy that she deserves because she's a hot girl. And Ben can kick rocks. Poor Margo. I think Margo deserves better. And maybe Margo should end up with someone else.
I don't know. I think Ben's doing his best with Margo. He's trying his best to be a good friend to Davey and to be a good boyfriend. And that's hard because Davey makes it hard. And so I can't fault him too much. You know, he's known Davey his whole life, and she's coming to him saying, you should be a better friend to me, to your girl. You know, your girlfriend vandalized my car. He's trying. He's just in a tight spot. I give him a little grace here.
Yeah. Still weird. And they won't. That's all. But anything else from this episode? Paxton does overhear Chappelle that, you know, the boy's making fun of him. I mean, like, oh, he's a has-been, which is now, you know, gonna, I think, change the trajectory a little bit of Paxton. At least his mindset on everyone thinks I'm cool. So that's it. That's where we leave our characters. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Three episodes down and seven more to go. So we're going to have a good time talking about it. Like I said, this is probably right before the real drama starts. So it's about to get weird, and it's going to be a fun time talking about it. I'm sure we'll be yelling a lot more like we did in episode one.
Yeah, I think we're about to get a lot of headache coming up, because episode four is just, it's pissed me off. Let's just say that. So with that, Chappelle, if we have nothing else, make sure you're leaving us, again, that five-star, that glorious five-star review. We would appreciate it. Subscribe to our Never Have I Ever by Silent podcast feed. And Chappelle, where can the people find you?
People can find me on Twitter for the time being at Chappelle's _show, tweeting out the links to all the stuff we're doing. This week on Nothing But Netflix, I'll be podcasting about Wham, the Wham documentary on Netflix. Me and Rob will take care of that. I guest on community building this week on Post Show Recaps to talk about Community season 6, episode, I want to say 3 and 4. And then I also am on Post Show Recaps talking about The Walking Dead at the moment. And then potentially have some Below Deck stuff coming up too. But I guess I'll let you talk about that.
Yes. Oh, if we heard it here first, I guess. But yeah, as for me, you can find me over on Robin's podcast, Mess Magnet, where I am chatting pop culture news, anything ridiculous, vibes only, celebrity mess. It's there. Britney got smacked in the face. Like, things are happening. Celebrities are being weird. Check all of that out. We were off this week for Below Deck, sailing yacht, but Rob and I will be back next week on Bravo TV wrap-ups. And over on Post Show Recaps, I'm covering Secret Invasion with Jason Reed. And everything else I'm doing, just follow me on Twitter at funsize_04. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye.